We've been in a series here at Cornerstone called How to Study the Bible. And the reason we started with this series at the beginning of the year is I feel like this is such an important topic for us to talk about. So many people have Bibles and they have good intentions. And they'll even start a reading plan and start reading a little bit of the Bible, but they really never take it beyond that. And I want us to really take time this year to learn how to not just read the Bible, but also learn how we can study the Bible and understand the Bible and apply the Bible to our life. When we read the Great Commission, Matthew 28, it tells us to go into all the world, make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then to teach them everything that Christ has commanded. And really, that shows me that we have an obligation, we have a responsibility to not just read the Bible, but to understand it in such a way that it changes the way we live, so that we obey what Christ commands. And that really is at the heart of this sermon series. I read a statistic that said we really live in a world today where people don't read books anymore. About a quarter of American adults, 24%, say they haven't read a book in whole or in part in the past year, whether in print, electronic, or audio. So get that. One out of four people have not even picked up a book in the last year. And it went on to say the share of Americans who simply read for pleasure on a given day has fallen by more than 30% since 2004. And this is some survey from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. It's interesting, though, to see how that's happened. Now, I personally love books, and sometimes I get busy and I'm not able to read as much as I like, but typically I like trying to read a new book every week or two just because I like the aspect of learning. In fact, I wanted to share with you a book that I got for Christmas this year, and it's a pretty interesting book. I've got it set back here. This is a big book, and I'm not sure. I think my camera's frozen here. I can't tell, but it's not updating on mine. But if you can still hear me, I'll show you my book here. And it's a book by the Bible Project. And yeah, here we go. There we updated. So here's this big book. And it's by the Bible Project. And this book it's really interesting. It's huge. And it's got all the Bible Project video, I don't know if you can see this or not, all the diagrams for every book of the Bible, and then the explanation that talks about it. Now, this is a really cool book for me, and I actually saw it at the Bible Museum in Washington, D.C., and Jennifer noticed me playing with it and looking at it, so she went ahead and got it for me for this Christmas. So it's really pretty interesting. So this is awesome, and it's a great book to read and study, but it's not really a convenient book. It's not one you're going to carry around with you that much. Now, the amazing thing about the Bible is it is convenient. Most of you have multiple Bibles. You have some at home. You have study Bibles. You have small Bibles. Maybe you have a Gideon's Bible you've received. You even have the Bible on your phone. And so with all of that, we really don't have the excuse of, I don't have it accessible. We really have an awesome opportunity to have the Bible accessible no matter where we go. I read another study on Lifeway that said that although Americans have this positive view of the Bible, many say that, you know, the Christian scriptures are filled with moral lessons for today, but more than half of Americans have read little or none of the Bible. Now, that's a little scary to me that half of the United States have not read any of the Bible. And so when we witness, when we share about our faith, we're doing that from a standpoint of people not really even knowing what the Bible says. They may have misconceptions about the Bible, and they may have misunderstandings about what it really says. And that's another reason why we really need to study. I read this quote. It said, most Americans don't know firsthand the overall story of the Bible because they rarely pick it up. Even among worship attendees, less than half read the Bible daily. The only time most Americans hear from the Bible is when someone else is reading it. And so I just want to challenge you guys to really take this message to heart and this whole series that we're doing about how to study the Bible. We just need a more urgency about why we read and how we read. I want to share with you a scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. And let's see if we can get that pulled up on our computer here. And let me see. Anyway, I'll just go ahead and read it to you. And it says this. It says, but you must remain faithful to the things that you have been taught. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. You must be faithful. You must remain faithful to the things you've been taught. You know they are true, for you know that you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. This passage is so important because it really tells us why we need to know the Scriptures. The first reason is so that we can come to know Jesus as our Savior. And that really, the whole story of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation tells us how we can know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's really my first prayer for everybody that's listening today. And whether you go to Cornerstone or you go to another church and have just kind of stumbled upon this live feed this morning, my prayer is that you know Jesus. And not just know about Him, but you really know Him, that He's your Lord, He's your Savior, that He's forgiven your sins, and that you are walking with Him and learning how to live like Jesus now. That's my prayer, is that you, the Bible calls it, you know, that you have been saved, that you've been born again, that you've been redeemed. All of those words point to this picture that we have a relationship with the God who created us, that we know Jesus on a personal level. And that's my first prayer. But the second reason is so that we can grow spiritually, so that we can be equipped to do whatever God wants us to do. And so when we read that passage in 2 Timothy, it tells us that the Christian life doesn't really stop when you receive Christ. It really just begins. And so as we learn and grow, our thoughts and our actions reflect Christ more and more. And so that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus right here, wherever we are. And so that's really important that we learn how to live like Jesus. And it talks about that passage that it's useful to teach us. It corrects us. And He uses it to prepare and equip us. And teaching shows us that path that God has for us in life. And sometimes He has to correct us and get us back on the path when we get off of it. He trains us and helps prepares us to stay on that path. And so the Bible really is our guidebook for living. And so I've shared all of that so just to ask you this simple question. Why aren't more people reading it? If it's really that important, why aren't more people truly reading the Bible? I think there's a few reasons. One is Bible study is hard work. There's really no shortcuts to it. We want the instant. We want the fast. We want everything kind of prepared for us. And when it comes to Bible study, it takes some work. And I fully believe, and I shared this last week, but the Bible was written by ordinary people to ordinary people. And so it's something that every single one of you can understand. You can read it. You can understand it. And so I just want to ask that you really put the work in to dig beneath the surface to uncover that wisdom that we need to live the life that God has prepared for us. And so if you get serious about studying the Bible, here's what I know. You'll never again be satisfied with a mere secondhand knowledge of Scripture. Once you start reading and understanding and learning and studying, you're never going to be satisfied with someone else telling you what the Bible means, because you're going to want to go and dig deeper and learn yourself for that. Last week, we talked about how the Bible is such a miraculous book, written by over 1,500 years, by 40 authors, 3 languages, 3 continents. It all comes together to tell the incredible story, God's plan of redemption for his people. God inspired his word. He breathed life into it. He moved the writers to put down these words on pages, and it all ties together from beginning to end to share the story of God's love for us. And I just, throughout the Bible, we see how it continually points us back, to understand why it's so important for us to read the Bible. And so it says in Joshua 1:8, it says that we should study the book of instruction continually, that we need to meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything that is written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Psalm 119, verse 15 says this: I will study your commandments. I'll reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees, and I will not forget your word. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Romans 15:4 says, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. 2 Timothy 2 says this: work hard so that you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. And then finally, Revelation 1:3 says, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. And so when we take all those passages, and there's many more throughout Scripture, the point you see is that God really desires that we read his word, that we study his word, that we meditate on it, that we spend time learning more about God through his word. And that's how God reveals himself to us. It's through his word. If we want God to speak to us, all we have to do is to pick up a Bible and open it up and read. And what that is, it's the God of the universe speaking directly to us. And so if you want to know what God thinks or what God desires for your life, it all starts with opening his word. And if you want to really start studying the word, I want to give you just some practical tips today on how to do that. The first thing I want to share is that you simply need a Bible, a pen, and a plan. And so what do I mean by that? Our desire here at Cornerstone is not that you just attend church, but that you also hear from God directly every day. And we believe that happens as we spend time in prayer and Bible study. And so what we want you to do, you need a Bible, and we want to challenge you not just to have a Bible, but to have a pen and a journal where you can write things down, where you can write out what you're learning so that you can go back later and read about it. And not just a pen, but you also need a plan. So where do you start? How do you read? Are you reading through the New Testament this year? Are you reading through the whole Bible? Are you reading the red letters of Jesus? Are you going through and getting an overview of the whole Bible? Having a plan as you jump into it is much better than just simply opening it up, closing your eyes and pointing at it and say, oh, this is what I'm going to read today. Now, when we read kind of systematically through Scripture, we get to learn from all of Scripture. Instead of just picking our favorite passages and the places we always go back to and read, we can learn from all of Scripture together. It was interesting at our last elders meeting, we just had a big discussion about how do we learn from Scripture? How do we study Scripture? And it was interesting hearing all the different techniques and routines and just how the guys have learned from Scripture over the years. And one of the things that kept coming up was the importance of changing things up and constantly looking for new ways to learn from Scripture. And whether it's reading from a different Bible translation or picking a different reading plan or changing the time or the way you read it. But everybody just says to keep, we need to just to keep things fresh and to keep going and keep learning and keep having that desire and passion to learn from God's word. And what happens as we read the Bible, we begin to see how God responds to things in our life. And when we do daily devotions, it kind of repatterns and it changes the way we think. It transforms our mind to be more like Jesus. And it helps us understand what it means to follow Jesus. So we're not just reading the Bible, we're letting the Bible read us. And so when we pull out a pen and a journal and start writing things down, or if you're like me and you absolutely, here's a confession. I'm not a good writer because I just don't write a lot, but I love typing things out. And so I'll keep a notebook, and whether it's Evernote or Apple Notes or something like that, I can keep all sorts of prayer requests and notes, and I'm just constantly typing down what I'm learning and filing them away on my computer, and just so I can go back and search through them later. But the same thing, if you write it down, if you actually like that feel of a pen and paper, you can write down what you're learning. And then I encourage you to go back from time to time and read through that. I heard one pastor call that like harvesting. What you're doing, you've planted all those seeds and you've written down all that thing, and then you get to go back and celebrate and harvest and go back and read what God has taught you and what you've learned and see all the answered prayers that He's given you. And so having that a pen to write that down is so important. You really need a plan too, and there's lots of plans out there. You've heard me talk about the Read Scripture app. That has all these Bible project videos that go along with it. There's also YouVersion, which has tons of great videos, devotion, reading plans, all sorts of stuff in it. If you go to mycornerstone.org/Bible-reading, or just go into resources and go into Bible reading on our website, you'll find all these great ideas for reading plans. You'll see different reading plans, some that you can download and put on your own computer or print out and like put on your refrigerator. You'll see some that you can sign up. You'll see different Bible apps you can go to. All sorts of cool things that you can learn. During this series, we've been talking about a pretty simple Bible study method. And that Bible study method is called the SOAP method. And the acronym is kind of a little weird, but it just stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. And it's just a simple mnemonic way here to remember kind of a pattern for studying the Bible. And what I mean by this, it's when we get in a pattern for reading, it's just simply saying, okay, I'm going to read the scripture. I'm going to pull out observations about it. I'm going to see what the Bible text means. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. We're going to dig into that observation phase, really talk about that. Then the application part, what does that mean for my life today? And I really feel like if we skip that application step, we're missing out on what God wants to teach us. We need to read Scripture and say, okay, in light of what I've just read, how does it affect my life today? And then finally, the prayer part is where we go back and spend time with God and let Him speak into our life and encourage us and teach us and correct us through the time of prayer. And that's really what we're going to be doing throughout this series. And I thought maybe the best thing we could do today, just take a passage of Scripture and just kind of work through this process just to show how we can take this SOAP process and do it on a short passage of Scripture. So the passage I picked for this morning, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. And so if you got your Bibles, flip over there. I was planning on putting the Bible verses on the screen, but it's not working for some reason. So with that, so you'll just have to follow along with your Bibles today. But 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, or verse 1 through 6. So I'll read it to you, and then, again, this is a great time to make a note of this and go back to it. It says, "My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father, He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only for our sins, but the sins of all the world. And so we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, "I know God," but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. What an incredible passage of scripture. And just from a passage like that, it's like, where do you start? There's so many lessons we could learn, so many different things we could take from that. We'll talk about some of those tools and resources next week. There's commentaries and Bible dictionaries, podcasts, concordances, all that stuff. But I want to just take a minute and just show you what you can do when you actually take time to use some free tools at your disposal online so that you can dig a little bit deeper. What I did, I went online and used two resources. I used the Blue Letter Bible website, and I used the Faith Life Study Bible. Both are completely free, and I wanted to show you today how you could use those and learn yourself. So I'm going to show a little video just walking you through how that works. I wanted to introduce you to a couple of tools that I think would really be helpful in your Bible study. The first is blueletterbible.org. And if you've never used this site before, it's really interesting how it works. You just simply go and type in the verse that you want to look at. And when you pull it up, it gives you several options here. And so you can see here, it puts all the verses. I put in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. And so here you see it. I can click on this, and it brings up, if you know how to read Greek, this will be helpful. If you don't, then don't worry about it. But what it does do is pull up each word, and it gives you a reference to that word. And then you can do a little Bible study around that word. And you'll see here, you can also pull different Bible versions and see what that looks like. So you can compare Bible versions, cross references, verses that you can look up to see how they compare. You've got commentaries online that you can pull up and dictionaries. So let's go back to this. And so let's pick a word out of this chapter. My little children, these things I write to you, that we have an advocate. Let's look at that word advocate. What does that really mean? So if you want to go dig deeper here, you can go and find that word advocate. And so here we are. I can click on it. I can hear how you pronounce it in Greek. Here's the Greek transliteration is what they call that. And so let's click on here, and I can actually pull the definition up. And so it tells me a little bit about the word. It gives me the definition. It's one who pleads another's case or another's cause before a judge, or an intercessor. And not only that, I can see that that same word is used five times in five different verses in the New Testament. It's used in John 14:16, and it's talking about the Holy Spirit will come and be a comforter. And so instead of advocate, it's translated comforter there. And John 14:26, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, again, it's teaching us about that and showing us what that means. John 15:26, John 16:7, and 1 John 2:1. So you can really quickly get a good idea about what a word means and where else it's used. Again, letting scripture interpret scripture so we can get a better understanding. So that Blue Letter Bible is really interesting, and you can do a lot of digging and find out a little more about how passages are kind of linked together throughout the Bible and find out what the word means. And it's all free, so it works really great. So that's one tool. Another tool, many of you may have a study Bible, but some of you don't. If you don't have a study Bible, you can go to bible.faithlife.com. And in bible.faithlife.com,
the first time you go there, you'll have to create an account to access it. But once you do, I put in 1 John 2 here, and you can see here, I have notes about the passage. And so here's, it talks about my little children and what he means by this and what he means by an advocate. And so you can kind of look, here's a word study here that I can do on that same word advocate. What does it mean in verse 2 when it says he is the propitiation for our sins? Well, we can pull up an article about the atonement and find out what that word means. So this study Bible is really in another great free way to dig deeper and learn more about the passages you're reading. So just wanted to introduce these two free tools to you because I know they can be helpful as you study the Word.
Well, we're back. And so hopefully that video, yeah, you get to see my dog. We've been laughing at her. She's been snoring while we're watching the video. But what hopefully you've learned a little bit through that video how easy it is to just to take Scripture and dig a little deeper. And it's something that you can do from by yourself, and you can learn so much. And just from what we learned, and again, I think sometimes we think, man, we have to learn this incredible secret wisdom or knowledge that's in the Scripture that someone's got to teach us. Often those really crazy far out there interpretations, they're usually wrong. And so when we really just open up Scripture, spend time on it and read it and pull from some of these tools that just like I just showed you, you can make some really good observations. Just like what we just read, if we step back and make some observations about the book of 1 John, there's a few things that stand out to us. One, it was written by John. That's why it's titled as it is. It was written late in his life. We know that he lived in Ephesus for a while, so we think he actually wrote this from Ephesus and probably to the church at Ephesus. And so he was writing this to encourage them. It was a letter that was written to a church. He really wants them to believe correctly, but he also wants them to obey Christ. But more importantly, he wants them to display love in their life and to their lives to be like Jesus. And so he opens this up by saying, "Dear children." And what we know when we look at that phrase and see where it's used in Scripture, what we learn is that John cares about these people. He has this deep love for them. He wants what's best for them. And also, not only that, but we can learn that Jesus cares about us, that he is our advocate. And that's an interesting word there, that he's pleading our case before the Father. Not only that, we see that through the cross, Jesus has paid in full the charges against us. That's what the word, that he has atoned for our sins, or he is the propitiation of our sins, as many translations translate that literally. And that's a word that means it's a sacrifice that bears God's wrath and turns it to favor. And so he has taken our sin upon himself and made us right before God. He took God's wrath because of our disobedience and sin, and he took it on himself. And in exchange, we receive his righteousness. We obey out of love, and our love demonstrates what we really believe. All these observations we're pulling just from that. I don't know if you just heard, but the city scraper just went by down our street. So that's a good noise to hear in an ice storm like this. So it's the first vehicle I've seen go down our road all morning. And then finally, the observation I made when I was reading this is just, it reminds me of the Great Commission. How it teaches, where it tells us that we are to obey everything that Christ has commanded. It really pulls me back to that in 1 John chapter 2. And so those are all the observations that you can make just real quickly from reading a passage like that. So let's make the application. Here's the application. And it's simply this question for me. How do we deal with our sin? How do we deal with our sin? Do we pretend like we don't have sin? Do we try to make things right by ourselves? Do we think that we can kind of pay for our sins just by going to church, by being a good person or doing the right thing? Or do we turn to Jesus? That's what this passage shows me, is we've got to continue to turn to Jesus. There's only one way that our sins can be forgiven, and that's through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's through putting our faith and our trust in Jesus. The true test of my faith is, do I live like Jesus? It's not how much I attend church. It's not how good of a person I am. It's not how much money I give. It's am I transformed by Jesus? It means my sins have been forgiven, and now I'm obeying Jesus and living out my faith through a relationship with Him. And then finally, the application I made was to know Jesus means that we have a relationship with Him, and that relationship transforms our behavior. So all that kind of comes together. We can learn a whole lot from a short passage like that. So if I was journaling this down, the application for me was, how am I dealing with my sin? Am I trying to make things right, or am I turning to Jesus? Am I repenting for my sin, taking responsibility for my actions, and really trusting Jesus to forgive me? And then, am I living like Jesus? And that's the question I would ask myself. That's the question I ask you today. Are you just attending church? Are you just occasionally looking at Scripture? Do you view the Bible as just a book that gives you a few moral lessons to live by? Or is it a book that reveals God to you? Is it a book that, as you read it, it transforms your life and makes your life look more and more like Jesus? That's my hope. That's my prayers, that as we go through this study, that we would learn together how to study the Bible and what it really truly looks like to live like Jesus. I'm going to ask that you guys pray with me today. And again, thanks for tuning in today. I know we had some connection problems early on in the video, but they've seemed to work themselves out there. So on a snowy day like this, you never know what's going to happen with the internet. But I just want to thank you for tuning in. If you attend Cornerstone, we want to see you back next week. And again, ask that you can consider supporting the ministry even when you're not there. If you go to another church, hey, you need to support their ministry. And it's a great, they'll face the same issues that we have. So, you know, on a week like this, go ahead and mail in a check or give online, support the work and the ministry they're doing. And just want to just say I'm so thankful to live in a community where so many churches teach God's word and work together to advance the kingdom of God. And so I'm excited about what God is doing here. I hope you are as well. Let's pray together, and then we'll kind of close out today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. I'm so thankful that you do love us. I'm so thankful that as we read your word, we get just a glimpse, Lord, of this incredible love you have for us, this love that was displayed when Jesus went to the cross on our behalf. And so, Heavenly Father, my prayer is that every single person listening today that listens at a later date and time would be able to say without a doubt, I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, that I put my faith and my trust in Him. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart that God, you raised Him from the dead, then we will be saved. And so my prayer is that for every person listening today, they would be able to say, I've confessed Jesus is my Lord. I'm not ashamed of that fact. And I'm wanting to live my life for Jesus. I'm wanting Him I want to be the hands and feet of Jesus to this world around me. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can worship together even in the midst of snow and ice, and that nothing can, your word tells us that, you know, that even Satan can't overcome, that Satan's not going to overcome the church. And I'm so thankful that the church stands strong. Lord, we thank you this morning. We praise you. And my prayer is that everyone would be safe, and that everyone would be able to learn more about who you are through your precious word. It's in Jesus' name I pray this morning. Amen. Thank you guys for tuning in. I'm excited to continue the series next week as we look at really how to truly interpret the Bible, make those observations, and then make the application the following week. So we'll keep learning together. Leave a comment on what you learned today, or if you want to learn more about how to use some of these tools, we'll be sharing. We'll put out a post this week with some more info for you. But again, thanks for tuning in, and hope you have a great day with your families. Thanks, guys.